Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Really pumped up.
This is the Sunday Run from McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, MCG's the venue and it is a perfect day for football. Wherever you're listening, I wish we were in a world where you could be coming to the footy because there's no better place on a Sunday afternoon than the MCG at the moment. Bathed in sunlight, the Cats set to take on the Demons in a very big game of footy. We will speak to the Melbourne senior coach, Simon Goodwin, in about 50 minutes' time. A lot to get through. I look around and the team are fully assembled. Jay Clark is here. Hello to you, Clarky.
Hello, Howie.
Great to see you. The Duck is in the house. Hello, Ducky boy.
Hey, Howie. How are you, gentlemen? A beautiful day in Melbourne, isn't it?
Perfect
MCG
day.
MCG looks absolutely magnificent. I was on my way in here this morning and got dropped off.
Yes.
Jess dropped me off. I just thought, you know, I might go for a stroll maybe after, maybe walk home or whatever, and explaining to little Carter that this was Dad's old office.
Oh.
The MCG.
What'd you say to him?
I was just saying to him, it's his first trip to the G. And I said, well, Carter, we're going to the MCG. That used to, you know, that was his office on a Friday night.
What else did you say?
No, that's it.
No.
Are you sure that's all you said?
I didn't go too much.
well, you turned on there, Ross. What's happening? Can we hear you, Ross? Hello, Roscoe.
Are you there?
No. You need to talk now, Ross.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey,
now we've got you. It's great
What's
to have
going
you here,
on?
Ross.
No, who's we've running got this shoot?
We're good. We're on. We're actually just reminiscing about Rocket, who did your job last year, and we loved Rocket. And when he came in here, the first time he did a game, and he told us he was vegetarian, he was looking after himself, and then hoed into three sausage rolls in the next sentence. The great Rodney. How are you, Roscoe?
I'm very well, Howie. Great to be back.
Hey, it is weird coming to the football. You get temperature checked. You have to park underneath, and no one being here on a day like today. I know the situation of the world we're in, but geez, it'd be nice when we can get some people back to footy. It just doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't. And unfortunately, Howie, here in Victoria, with what's going on, we're probably not going to see crowds for a while, given what we're going through at the minute. But great news, obviously, over in Perth, and obviously there was crowds in Queensland over the weekend, so all good results.
What are you boys coming at on the temperature check? Did you ever ask them?
Never asked.
No.
I'm real low. I'm always like low 34s.
Wow.
You're meant to be sort of 37. 37.2, they won't let you in.
You are a cold sort of character.
Well, I'm real low. So can you check when you come in?
Well, and you got no meat on you.
Well, that's it. The thong's probably
actual fact,
I'll do some research and get back to you.
I walked past him before I got a paper cut.
Oh, don't laugh at that, Ross. He's rolled with that joke for 3 years. He ripped it off Will Anderson. It wasn't funny when Will went with it, and it's even unfunny when Duck goes with it.
I like it. I'm an easy get, though.
No,
I am an easy get.
Don't.
I haven't heard it before. I've been 13 years. Serious head on. Now I can relax.
He's looking nice out, man. He's got the little Fred Perry sort of straight off Wimbledon top on today.
He likes his brands, doesn't
he? Does.
Go up and down.
Tell you what, another man that likes his brands here today is Mickey Roberts.
He'll be joining us on the boundary shortly.
He looks magnificent, as always.
Fantastic. Hey, there's so much to get through, but a story developing in Adelaide, Clark. You can take us around the grounds for Choice Hotels right off the top.
It certainly is. It's getting ugly again for Adelaide early. It's Brisbane currently leading by 40 points over the Crows late in the second quarter. It's 52-12. Jeez. Brisbane have had 17 scoring shots. They are 7 goals, 10-52 by 40 points over Adelaide. 2 straight goals, 12. So 17 scoring shots to 2. At what point, when do you start asking some serious questions about the football club? I know Matthew Nix is in his first year as coach, but something is awfully amiss there, isn't it, Ross?
Probably not the response you're looking for, Jay.
No.
That's not what you come here and get paid for.
In all seriousness,
17 shots to 2.
Wow.
I really feel for Matthew. You've got to put it in context. I think the first thing is the club. Where are we at? And are we aligned to where we're at and what we're doing? I'm sure they've got a plan. And I think it's been put out there publicly that we are rebuilding. So that's the real context of this. There's 13 grand final players on their list. And I had a look at the list that went the other night. So out of that grand final team, the key back Lever, who was a great young key back, we understand they wanted to keep him. And then 2 electric small forwards, really, in Cameron, who's now a match winner, and Eddie Betts. And I remember watching that grand final. Cameron's pace stood out to me that day. Hardigan was their third tall defender, not running around. So it's not that much change. And there's been a few. So and the key ruckman, Jacobs. So there's enough there.
What do you do? What do you do when your club, Ross, is at the situation? And Duck, you will have been in this situation at various times, as good as your teams were, when your club's on its knees, which is what Adelaide is at the moment. Like, what can you do?
Well, you've got to shift the possibility. You've got to let go of results. And I swear, he's got to affirm his belief in them. But his job is to get a clear game plan up and going and have little wins along the way. So you've got to go to what's possible for us? Well, we can win a premiership, but how long is that going to take? So what I mean is a growth mindset is every week we've got to go out and bring the effort and improve in different areas individually and collectively. Now, if everyone keeps that mindset, you can always find little wins, even if they lose. So, but they've got to get their effort right. So the only ones that can really judge that are the players and coaches. But, you know, you can have your tackling and your hardball gets them, but you've got to run and you've got to work. So it's been an incredibly difficult time with COVID as a first year coach. I think the difference between Teague and Shaw and Ratten, they knew their list and they knew what they were doing. He's walking in there trying to find out about his list and he's got under pressure straight away. But he's just got to stay calm and he's got to work closely with his leaders and leaders of the football club as well.
That's a great point you make. And I think Roosie, when he was here a couple of years ago as well, made the same point. I mean, when Roosie went to Melbourne, he took a team with him. So all of a sudden, he's not having to make relationships everywhere. I mean, Matty Nix has to get relationships with all the players, all the staff, then all the people in the office. So he's forming relationships everywhere. And then on top of that,
massive
now,
job.
It is a huge
44
job.
Players. You've got about 40, 50 staff. And everyone has that sign, make me feel important around me. He's got to talk to them all.
Yep, and that's the difference between, I guess, being a coach that has got a reputation and had success. You have the power to say, I'm bringing my team with me. And obviously, if you're a young coach like Matty that's just trying to get a job, then you don't have that same luxury of doing that. But in terms of where they're at, we always got to put back on us. If we were going through a little bit of a slump or whatever, Dennis would always put it back onto the leaders. He'd want us to own what we were doing, whether things that he was doing that we weren't happy with, and we told him, and he didn't listen anyway. but a slump for us, Howie, and was a couple. If we lost two in a row, Dennis would get on a bus, and we'd all pile onto a bus, and we'd think, oh, where are we going here? This is on the Monday. And he'd pull up at a pub, he'd go in, he'd say, buy two jugs for the whole team, two jugs, and then make everyone tell a joke. Rocky was the first one. He'd grab the jug and have a couple of pots. But I mean or go to the movies or things like that. They're all the different things that coaches
do. He did that at Carlton when he was there. Sydney Lions Club, get up and tell a joke, have a couple of pots. But the real context is capability. Where is the Adelaide list at? Until you can really give that context, it's really hard to judge, Matty. So on Champion Data's rankings, that list was ranked 7-8. So they're basically performing, but then it gets to percentage and competitiveness. So I think we can say, well, you can have the losses, but you want them to be competitive. I think that's the real issue.
9 inside 50s for the half for the Adelaide Crows. 52-12 at halftime. Brisbane dominating up there in Queensland. Jay-Z, Merritt Silvani, where's that bubbling along?
It's already shaping as probably the most contentious MRP decision of the season so far, because as it stands, and I can just see the steam starting to come out of his ears. If you're ticking the boxes, and Jack Silvani, we know, has a broken rib and a bruised lung and some internal bleeding there, right? So it's a decent injury. Spent the night in hospital.
And generally, he's a pretty tough kid.
Yeah, exactly. Just amazing that type of injury from what looked like a very...
Yep.
Sometimes it's just an angle. He was kicking, you opened up.
Got him in the right spot.
He's completely exposed.
Yeah.
So on the MRP, it'll be classified, I think, as a careless act and high impact, most likely, which is one match. And
I don't think it's...
It's not high impact.
It's not suspendable.
It's not high.
I think under the system, he gets a match.
Under the system.
Yep. So if you're Essendon, I reckon you're already thinking you're going to challenge this, and you're probably 50-50 of winning at the tribunal.
How many of them we see?
That happens. You would see that type of hit on players. You might see 40 a game.
Do you really? So you cop a clenched fist and even, a punch in the even, back 50 even, times a game.
Absolutely.
My little bloke gives always, me one every morning.
Always. There's those type of hits always. Marking. Yeah, anyway, it just didn't look like. I think
it's just an unfortunate angle and hit.
Sweet spot.
Yeah. But you're right, under fist.
Yep.
Yeah, what was it? How did it categorise the form?
It was from behind.
What's going to come into play is, and I always say it, it's the action that you should be penalising, not the outcome.
Yep.
So, the action, right, which was, I don't think, really bad. Like, it was, you know, it wasn't a bad thing. But the outcome is obviously Silvani's obviously seriously
so,
hurt.
So, the medical report is key. It's like, if he knocks him
but it
down.
Shouldn't, but it should be the action, not the outcome. This is what we've got to get back to that.
But it was intentional to the body.
Yep. And it's either going to be medium or high impact. Now, because he spent the night in hospital with some internal bleeding and a broken rib, and he may miss a game or two, then that's what probably ticks the high box, because I think the game doesn't want Duck. People with their back being hit from behind.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And I tell you what, though, Merritt should take up boxing because he's got a harder punch than Tyson.
Flip side of the coin, Carlton have another close win. Is it building for the Blues, Rossi? You're liking what you're seeing?
I am. Essendon, lack of momentum with the no game, I think that hurt them. But their ball movement, their run and their skill. If I remember when they beat us last year over at we jumped them in the first quarter. It was wet. But I was like, gee, they can kick it and they're quick and very skillful. It really concerned me early. And so if you give them time and space, they've got the weapons to hurt you. And they persisted until the end and got the points. Belief, you can't buy confidence, comes from action. So they've gone to Geelong, had a great win. They've fought on, got another win. They're going to be hard to stop from here.
News just from Brisbane, Dane Zorko's gone off with a reoccurrence of his Achilles injury. So he missed last week with that, was recalled back for this game against Adelaide, currently up by 40 points at half time. He's gone off with an Achilles problem and does not look happy. So that's continuing to bother one of the stars of the
competition. And once you got them in season, they're almost impossible to get rid of. They will nag all year. You can manage them, but there's some really interesting management techniques you can do. Matthew Pavlich. They can inject them. They can put you on certain tablets, but they're a really tricky injury.
Our man Nathan Brown's just wandered in from other television commitments where he's starring on The Footy Show. Nathan, hopefully you're there and plugged in, ready to go. How are you, Noodles?
Easy to do my job, and then Duck's ringing three times. Well, like, I'm on air, and he's ringing me.
But just have a listen to what happened on the Sunday Footy Show this morning.
Thanks.
Are you on the phone?
Yes.
It was Duck.
Wayne Carey,
yeah.
Is he sorting dirty with
him? Well, no, he asked me if I can pick him up some lunch because we're going to Triple M, the game at the MCG today, and he said, while you're there, can you give Kane Corns a backhander?
The biggest story there is that Duck's ringing him to pick up some lunch for him.
Yeah. Sure, Wayne, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. You're like one of those little characters in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. You're like, yeah, boss.
You've come in empty-handed, though. I'm not seeing any food.
No, I've ordered the Uber Eats. I was already late, Howard, and so it's going to come to gate one. But, you know, when someone rings, you go, I'll ring Duck back. I'm going to see him at the football. But then he rings a second time. I'm like, well, I'm starting to get a bit worried now. Maybe I meant to be there earlier. And then he rings a third time. I thought, there might have been one of us might have gone downhill or something like that. I'm starting to worry. So I answer his call just out of an ad break. He goes, can you get me some lunch?
Just some news coming through for those that have been downloading the Sunday Rob podcast. Last week, the most ever downloads on the Sunday Rob podcast in the history of the show. So if you did download it...
I'm going to say there's only two new people here, Rob.
There is. It's a good point, Noodles.
Who would that be?
Interesting comments, which caused some debate before we got to air today from Mick Malthouse in relation to Nat Fyfe and his standing in the game. This is what Mick had to say.
The word champion is not him. To be a champion, you must finish off your work for a start off. He is not a good finisher in front of goal. When the chips are down, I wouldn't rely on him. Two is, and he was found out again last week, he's got an attitude that I don't have to defend. If it falls in his lap, if it's near him within 5 metres, he can tackle like the best of them. He's a very good tackler and he's strong and he's bold in that area. But if he has to run it with his opponent when the ball goes into the opposition forward line, he is 15, 20 metres away, hoping that the backs get it and get it back to him. He does not defend. He's certainly not in my top quality players that are playing league football.
Subjective game we're in. So everyone has their different points of view here. So we'll get to Nat first, and then we'll discuss with you boys who you think is a champion in your mind in the current game. Champion, Nath, means different things to different people. But firstly, Ross, you coach Nat for, well, all of his career just about. Is he a champion in your eyes?
Well, he's well on the way to being a champion. He's champion. We can discuss the parameters, but it's about longevity and high-level performance. But he certainly has got another 5 years of high performance to deliver and of the very highest level. On mixed comments, clearly great coach, but as a finisher, I think we all acknowledge that's not his absolute strength. But competitive beast, contestable winning, contested mark. But he has improved his goal kicking over the last few years. So I'm clearly qualified to comment on his defensive transition. There's a lot of noise about that. What happens with the great players when that they might have a few shockers? The grandmother statements I don't like of transition and defensive run. No one was more fierce on team defence and defensive transition than me. And there's times I've hit Nathan up in team reviews and I could go to them and pull them. And there's times he's exceptional because he is a big runner. And teams really try and target him. So if you went to Sam Mitchell and Hodge, they weren't great runners, but people ran around them and covered for them. But I can tell you defensively, when he's on, his mindset to defend is as good as anyone and can do it. But teams go out of their way to exploit them. So the grandmother statements, he doesn't do this. A, he can be a better finisher, but he's building on that. But the rest of his game is quite special. When you see at international rules and you've got Hodge and Clarkson guffawing over how good he is, like, he's elite, made no mistake about that. But he needs another 5 years of high performance. And hopefully that team builds around him to give him... If you were to lob him in the Collingwood midfield, it would be frightening, you know. So, but that's where I'll leave it.
Do you have to be a premiership player to be a champion?
No. Clearly not. No. Yeah. Nathan Buckley's not a premiership player. He's clearly a champion.
Yeah, I think the word... one thing I do agree with what Mick said there, strongly agree, the word champion gets thrown around far too easily. It just people just go, oh, he's a champion. And I think champion... to be, if you put that alongside a player's name, champion sits above a Hall of Fame induction because there are a lot of, I would argue, that, and by the way, the Hall of Fame is obviously a huge, huge honour, but I think there would be, you could argue there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that aren't necessarily an absolute champion. So to answer your question, I agree exactly what Ross said. I think Fife, if he continues the path that he's on, he will be a champion. Not quite yet for me. But can I tell you who I think is?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Jay-Z, champion or not, Nat Fife?
Yeah, I think the two Brownlows makes him a... I think I've called him in copy a champion midfielder. I think he's when you're the best player in the league twice...
He's played 177 games, by the way.
It's more the MVP, I would acknowledge. Has he been the player's MVP?
Yes, he has, I think.
That's to me, that's it.
Yeah.
And the Coach Association, they're the two best awards. Yep. The Brownlow... The umpires have got enough on their
plate. I'll agree with that, Ross.
Unfortunately.
All right, Duck, who are yours? Who are your champions?
He hit his hamstring last night, Nat, so hopefully he's back quickly. All right, the current player.
Currently playing
the game.
So, by the way, Fife, I think, will be a champion. He's just not quite there for me yet. But the champions right now, playing right now, off the top of my head, is Ablett Jr., Franklin. I think Pendlebury's a champion. And I also think Joel Selwood's a champion. And I also think Dangerfield's a champion.
So five champions, of which two we'll see today. It's a nice list.
What separates Dangerfield from Fife?
I'm interested in that.
Long, he's played 250.
Another 4 years of Fife before. Yeah.
I've got pretty much exactly the same list as Duck. Or it is exactly the same, but I've got Dustin Martin in there. Because I feel that at the biggest stage, he changed that footy club when he got there. I think they've all got behind him. He's probably the spiritual leader of that club, and he's been able to, in two grand finals, be an unbelievable player, win a Brownlow medal.
How many games for Dusty?
He'd be getting close to 200. He's 29 at the moment.
Yeah.
In game-turning ability, I think that's what I look at as a champion. That's why I think Selwood is a champion, because he changes the course of games. I think Dustin does that. So I've got exactly the same list, but I've added Dustin Martin.
226 games for Dusty.
Champions also have the ability, so they're not, champions aren't accumulated. Champions are people that change the course of a game regularly and grab games by the scruff of the neck. Fife does that. Fife can do that, no doubt. But, another couple of years and you just say, yes, absolutely.
Ross, champions currently playing in your mind?
Same. I have Pendlebury, Ablett, Franklin, Selwood. And then in the head, like, John, Kennedy, from the Swans, like 250 premiership player, BNS, but it's just that higher level of performance. Yeah, he's a great player in his own right, but that champion is a very special level.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, I've got the same. Pendlebury, Selwood, Ablett, Franklin, and I would include Fife in there at the moment. Interesting comments on Dustin Martin, Brownie. He's only, I shouldn't say only, he's won two club best and fairest and had one exceptional season. But do you reckon he's got the best out of himself over the course of a year? Like, to me, he's had some unbelievable games and unbelievable form patches, but I wouldn't say that he has consistently got the best out of himself over the course of a season, other than that one year. I mean, he's only two club best and fairest for possibly the best player in the game.
It's a fair call you make. The second best player to ever play the game, Lee Matthews, as Duck looks over me before I said that he was the best player, said that was the best season he's ever seen anybody play, which was a pretty special season. But I threw him in there because he does change the course of a game.
He's a match winner.
And I think he doesn't lose a one-on-one contest. And every time he gets the ball, in big moments, he makes the right decision and he puts his teammates into a better position. And I think he, in those premiership years, he made Jack Riewoldt a better player because not all the focus was then on Jack Riewoldt. And when he went through the middle, I think he's just a special player. But like Fife, doesn't really defend that often and has other players pick his man up, which allows him to get more of the football.
Some players sneak under the radar, Duck, and you don't realise potentially that they are champions. Now, I want to play you a little bit of audio now. Go back to one of the great television shows called Open Mic. And our man Nath appeared on Open Mic. This is what he had to say.
Those first 10 weeks of 2005, I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL. Michael Voss was playing, Buckley was playing, these amazing players, but I don't think anybody was having the influence I was having in those first 10 games. And to have that cut down and then not go anywhere after that, it's a bit disappointing, but it was great to have those 10 weeks as well.
That's champion for me.
For 10 weeks, Howard, I only did it for 10 weeks. And the truth's a wonderful thing. I was on fire.
One of Dennis Pagan's favourite sayings was, if you're any good, son, people will tell you. You won't have to tell them.
Mike was agreeing. He was nodding.
But champions always have self-belief. Clearly, that was one element.
Did you walk out of that? Because I know they're quite lengthy interviews and they get cut down. Did you walk out of that and have the self-awareness to think, geez, I hope they don't put that in?
I knew they were going to put that in, Howard. And I'm a team player, so I know that I'm on various mediums across TV and radio, and I know that you guys get a lot out of it. So I took one for the team there, and I agree with it. The only player that beat me that year, Howard, in those 10-game stretch was Stephen Baker, because obviously he was at the Saints at that point, and still had 21 and kicked two, so it wasn't a bad game.
I said, are you champion in my eyes? All right, it is time for
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
All right, Brownie, you need to get moving here because I've been pumping you up in the quiz department. Jay has had two wins.
Three.
You boys are not off the mark. You've had two. We didn't have a quiz last week. Test your buzzers, Brownie.
Brown, Brown.
Duck.
Duck, Duck.
Roscoe.
Ross.
And Clarkie.
JJ.
Right, here we go. All right, general knowledge. I will name a statistical category. I want you to tell me who recorded the most of that statistic for the last decade.
Oh.
From 2010 to 2019. Does anyone understand the question?
2010 to 2019.
Okay. Who recorded in that time the most goals?
Duck, Duck.
Duck, Duck.
That would have to be Franklin.
It is. 639. The most disposal.
Duck, Duck.
Duck, Duck.
Yep. That would have to be, I reckon that's got to be Pendlebury.
JJ. It is Pendlebury's 6,376. Duck out of the blocks quickly. The most.
Duck.
What?
Mitchell, handballs.
Incorrect. Good try, though. The most hitouts.
Brown. Sandilands.
No.
Duck.
No, you're out. Oh.
JJ.
Yes.
Sam Jacobs.
No. Do you want to have a crack? Roscoe or not?
Ross.
Who are you going for, Roscoe?
Goldstein.
Yes.
Goldstein,
even.
That's all right. The most clearances.
Duck. Most clearances. I reckon that'd be Kennedy, Josh Kennedy.
It is Josh P. Kennedy. Duck going well statistically. 1,583 clearances. And between 2010 and 2019, who has received the most free kicks?
Duck.
Yes.
That would be Selwood.
Yes, it is. 670. Duck out or flyer. Four.
Good start, Duck.
One. Brownie and Jay-Z yet to get going. Plenty to go, though. Blast in the past. Who coached St Kilda to their first and only premiership? Ducked up.
Was that Baldock?
No.
Oh, no.
Ross Ross. JJ.
James. Alan James?
It was. Yeah. 1966.
Of course it was Baldock. Alan James. Baldock.
What about when Duck gets it wrong and then oh, yeah, yeah. So he never actually gets anything wrong? Because even when he gets it wrong, he claims he would have got it right, Brownie. Cryptic name game.
What's that?
The cryptic name game. Cryptic. I like this one.
I thought he said that.
Cryptic. Which current AFL coach shares his surname with a New York-based sporting franchise?
Ross Ross.
Ross Ross.
Nix.
Matthew Nix. Mm. It is indeed. Well done, Roscoe. I like those questions, Wilbur. Guess the year. Okay, you need to tell me the year in which these events occurred. Mickey O kicked his 500th career goal. Yes.
2005.
No.
Duck.
2006. No.
Ross Ross.
And there's plenty more to come.
Oh.
Just hold on.
Oh, he's already buzzed in, though.
He's a first-time player.
Yeah, oh. Rookie.
Mick O'Loughlin kicked his 500th career goal against Geelong. Daniel Pratt became the first player to give away a free kick for deliberately rushing a behind. And the round 14 St Kilda Geelong clash set the AFL attendance record.
JJ.
Ross.
JJ.
2011.
No. At the Osmond Stadium. 2009 it is. Ross showing some good mid-quiz form. Duck 4, Ross 3, Jay-Z 1, and Brownie's here. Audio round. I'm going to play some audio. You need to tell me who takes this mark.
Mitch Day got it to Rich. Wrapped up in a tackle, running away.
Stop the audio.
Lincoln McCarthy.
Lincoln McCarthy. Continue the audio.
McCarthy's taking a streamer.
Just by the way, that was Bazza and Swatter. It's what he used to do Sundays. And last year, we gave him the greatest send-off of all send-offs.
He's back.
Ever to be seen. He's Johnny back Farnham.
Back on Saturdays.
He's back on Saturdays. What's happening with that, Brownie?
I don't know. I think there's so many games to call at the moment. So Swatter was very keen
for we gave him a party. We gave him cigars. The works. And he's back.
Good to have him back.
Yeah, it is. Sponsor watch. Now, Duck's very good at this because he's normally been sponsored by most sponsors in history of sponsorship. Which company recently extended their sponsorship? See, he's very good at these.
Recently extended their sponsorship.
It's a time limit.
Yes,
Duck. No.
Come on, Ducky boy.
Channel 7.
No. Which company recently extended their sponsorship with the Western Bulldogs?
Brown Brown.
Brown Brown.
Oh, Mission.
Mission.
Oh, Duck.
Oh, Duck.
That is right that for Brownie.
So them or Mercedes.
Well, you did go last week that it wasn't Optus Stadium, it was Domain Stadium.
Oh, that was the winner last week, too.
All right. In the news.
That was tactical, you know, because if he'd got it wrong, then these guys could have been there closer.
In the news. Do you want to have a go at it, Duck, before I answer the question? All right. In the news. Which player was named the Round 3 Rising Star? Yes.
Matty Rowe.
JJ.
No.
Ross Ross.
JJ.
Connor Buterick.
Butterick. Yep, correct. J3, Ross 3, Duck 3, Brown 1. This is nice. So, 5 points up for grabs. Once you guess, you can't guess again. Who am I? I was born June 24, 1953, and played for one club.
Ross Ross.
Or Ross.
John Kennedy Sr.
No. I hold the record for the most games played for my club and retired as the game's 10th oldest player ever.
Duck, Duck.
Duck for the win.
Robert Flower.
No. So, now it's tightening right up.
I just guessed.
3 points. I'm a four-time premiership captain and a two-time All-Australian. Four-time premiership captain.
Hanger, can you tell me what year this person was born in again?
1953.
Come on, you can't.
2 points. I won.
Oh, well, I win anyway. Cause...
7 premierships with Hawthorn.
Brown, Brown.
Brown, Brown.
Michael Tuck.
It is. Which leaves Brownie on 3, Ross on 3, Jay on 3, and Ducky on 4. Ducky takes it out. Well done, Ducky boy. You're on the board. What's happening in Choice Hotels around the ground?
It's that Adelaide bit of a comeback. It's 22-point lead to Brisbane halfway through the third quarter up there at the Gabba.
I actually can't believe I got all those stat ones.
Okay, rather than taking a break here, because we've got a bit of time before we get to Simon Goodwin, Richmond, What's going on?
Well, I'm interested in Ross and Duck and Brownie's thoughts here, because we haven't seen that appetite, that spark and that intensity around the contest. Before the season started, we were talking about a Richmond dynasty, but they're stuck in second gear, Ross. What's the problem?
Well, they all come back in good nick originally. Dustin set the time, really fit. I just don't think they've handled COVID in that 8 week. Some clubs have done it better. I think West Coast and Richmond clearly don't seem to be as in sync or as fit and as hungry as, say, Port Adelaide look or the Brisbane Lions.
Are they a bit complacent? Is that an attitudinal thing? I mean, they're not on edge.
Oh, I don't think it's just attitudinal. Teams are getting through their defence. They're stifling their ability to score. I watched Hawthorn, everyone working to the line of the ball really strongly. Not unlike North Melbourne when teams really load up. Well, it's going to Wayne. Let's get to the point of battle. I think more teams are, well, we know where it's going. Let's get our numbers there. But they're actually able to get out on the switch and through the corridor, which those assertive defenders and roll-off defenders are getting caught. There's more goals getting out the back on Richmond than I've seen for a while.
I think like any team, when your really big-name players, your superstars, aren't in terrific form, and I don't think they are. Dustin Martin isn't in, he missed a game and not in great form at the moment. Jack Riewoldt isn't in form. Both those players are barometers. Tom Lynch kicked 3 goals in about 3 minutes in one game. Outside that, hasn't done a lot. Prestia, I think he's one of their best players, hasn't been in sparkling form. Bashir Hooley, so their top end, their top 6 or 8 players haven't been in great form. And I think that exposes their 18 to 22. And you're big on the fact that those players need to be able to stand up. And I think without those players playing well, I think it exposes that bottom end of the Richmond list. And I think that's where they're falling down at the moment.
I think one of the great things that we've admired about this footy club for the last 3 years is the fact that, I guess, the output that they've got from that those guys that you said, your 22, your 21, your 20, your 19 and your 18th pick player, their output has been higher than anyone else's and their pressure has been at a level. That pressure hasn't been anywhere near what it has been over the last few years. So, and then as Brownie mentioned, those players just slightly off. That accumulates to what we've got with them right now. And to back up what Ross said also was teams now, they are the hunted. Mm. They're no longer, you know, they were hunting. Mm. They are now the hunted. Teams come after them and they've clearly, you know, worked out tactics to beat them.
I don't sit here and think they're going to miss the eight or anything, because we were probably having this conversation about them last year at this stage. They'd lost a couple of games early and then they came with a massive flurry. Obviously, it's a shortened season, but you get the feeling that at some stage they're going to string some games together and going to look like the Richmond of old as well.
Yeah, there's certain teams in the comp, and that's why we said last week, if the Bulldogs had lost 2 weeks ago, you know, I thought if they went 3-0, probably right the finals off. All of a sudden, they're 2-2. But Richmond and West Coast are two teams that I reckon can string 8 to 10 wins on the trot. So that's why I'm not prepared to put a line through either of those two yet.
Is there anything on Carousella as well? Like, he did the ball movement. They scored. They've been getting entries, but they're not as efficient as they were inside 50. Is it that adjustment? And whoever's taken that over and Damien working with him, when you can't work with the players as closely as you were, it can have an effect.
Tigers have got 5 days to prepare for that clash against West Coast. I mean, if they lose again, the Eagles, you almost put a line through them. It's going to be difficult.
Remember, they're going home. And like I said, they're a team that are capable of winning 8, 9 games on the trot at home.
On the ball movement, Ross, I think it comes back to their pressure. How many times you saw over the last 3 years Richmond just sweat on sides, just try and wear them down? All of a sudden, the side coughs up the footy on centre wing, and then all of a sudden you look up, Jack Riewoldt's got enormous space, Lynch has got enormous space, Dustin Martin's got a one-on-one. So that pressure isn't happening, so they're not kicking easy goals. Yeah. So when they go inside forward 50, I think it's looking like hard work, because sides have been able to get numbers back.
In 2011, Ross, you guys had been up for a long period, hadn't you? And then it was early in the season. How did you identify? Did you feel like you'd lost that hunger amongst the group as well?
Oh, no, they were a heartbroken group, because 09, you know, didn't kick straight or whatever. And then 10 was really tough battle. 11, we lost a close one against Richmond earlier. Lenny Hayes did his knee, so Lenny goes down. I think we're 1.5 wins out of the first 7, and we didn't look like it. So that hunger and that desire, but we just had a meeting where we just sat around. We just said, I said, you've checked out. But it was really,
and
we said, there's a bigger game to play here. Whether we can win the premiership or not, it's you define yourself on the footy field and display your character all the time. So, it was, and we just spoke about we loved each other. So, spoke about, you know, 20 years, we're still going to be there for each other. So, let's all just dig in. And I went on to win the next 8 out of 10 and make the finals, or 10 out of 12 and make the finals. So, sometimes they, I think they're at the point they just might need an honest chat with each other and say, what are we about? Let's get fair dinkum. And sometimes it's just looking the bloke in the eye and going, because there's going to be a couple, you know, Gordon Tallis used to walk, when you go down the race, don't be one of those blokes that don't make eye contact. Make the eye contact and you're in today. So maybe they've got a few that aren't making that eye contact. Let's get going.
Extraordinary scenes at the Gabba. Brisbane led by 40 points at halftime. It's back to an 18-point margin. Adelaide have kicked four in a row. Charlie Cameron, while you boys were having that discussion, I was watching the Triple M Bosch Tools replay screen, had a shot, a set shot from 15 metres out on the slightest of angles and hooked it round the corner rather than directly having a set shot kick and slammed it into the post.
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary. Always a treat to chat to a senior coach on game day, and this man always gives us his time. We love him for it. Simon Goodwin joins us. G'day, coach.
Yeah, howdy, guys. How are you?
Lovely to speak to you. When you found out that you weren't getting a run last week, how do you have to quickly change your program to adapt to a situation like that in modern footy?
Oh, look, it was really simple. Clearly, there was frustration, but, you know, we've certainly worked off a model this year of just accepting whatever comes our way, embrace what the opportunities look like, and build a plan moving forward. And that was no different, you know, at 4 o'clock last Saturday. What were our opportunities? And it was to play a match simulation at the MCG. And, you know, the whole setup was around preparing ourselves for Geelong. So, you know, it gave us a great opportunity to implement some things and look at our team and, you know, certainly prepare as best we could.
Hey, Goody, I don't often like to talk about players that aren't playing, but Jeddah obviously had a great year last year. Is just form that he's not in the team?
Yeah, look, Nev missed a lot of footy last year, and it certainly probably wasn't his best year last year. You know, 2018, he was, you know, sensational. We know the quality of Nev Jeddah at his best. You know, he's still working his way back to that after missing a big chunk of footy. And, you know, we're certainly very competitive for spots at the moment. You know, we've got 40 guys available, and a few weeks ago it was a Michael Hibbard missing out. This week it's a Neville Jeddah. So, you know, we're confident in Nev. We think we can get him back to his best. And, you know, today's match sim down at Port Melbourne in his second half was starting to head that way.
Goody, the amount of column inches we spent on Harley Bunnell for over a two and a half week period, and then you go and drop him. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, no, like he does create a headline, and Ross would know that he's a good story, Harley, and you know, he's going to be a fine player for our footy club, and he's still working his way back into some really good form, AFL form, and every single match he plays, every training session he plays, he's building his game, and it's about building his game in
but
all
Goody,
three phases.
Why didn't you pick him? Why is he not on your team?
Well, he's just not at his best right now. So we're still working his way back to his best. He's not a walk-up start for any team, and he needs to be covering the ground as well as anyone. He's missed a lot of training. He's missed a lot of footy. He got a game in round one, which was great for Harley and great for our team. But we've got some more players available now, and we've got to get him back to his best.
Goody, I think everybody's been wondering when Christian Petrarca was going to explode and be the midfielder apart from playing as a permanent forward. He's listed still as 96 kilos in the sheet I've got here. He doesn't look anywhere near that. He looks as fit as I've ever seen him.
Yeah, look, he's really worked hard on his game, Christian. You know, really proud of the way he's gone about it. You know, for a long time he's been criticised about his tank and not being able to play in the midfield, but you know, he's as dynamic as anyone around the ball at the moment and gives us a real dual threat. You know, when we need him forward, we'll put him forward, and when we need something explosive around the ball, we'll put him in there as well. So he's becoming quite the complete player.
So, Simon, just on the Cats, what have you seen? Where do you think they're vulnerable? Where do you think you can get hold of them today?
Oh, there's no doubt when they play their best footy, they're very dominant around stoppage, and they trap the ball in their half. You know, when they're able to get their defence set up behind the ball, they're a hard team to break down. So certainly clearance will be a big part of the game, and being able to get the ball in our half. But if we don't, our ability to shift the ball and move their defence to get our way through will be critical in the game.
Did you see Carlton? How were they able to do it with their key forwards and isolating their backs? What did you pick up there?
Yeah, they certainly played with some tools and were able to isolate down the line and certainly play towards the boundary and really take some key marks there. And inside 50, they kicked to a target. You know, they're very good at identifying a target, lower their eyes, and and get some really good shots on goal. So, you know, they played a really strong game, Carlton, and, you know, a bit of a blueprint for what you need to play against the Cats.
Goody, I'm a fan of Fritsch and play. Are you going to persevere with him forward, or do you see him being a more of a swing player?
We'll persevere with him forward. You know, that's where we drafted him. That's where he played most of his footy, and he's got a hell of a lot of ability. Bailey, he marks the ball, and he's got a ground level, so you know, we'll persevere with him there.
Goody, Reece Stanley out for the Cats. It means Darcy Fort's got a huge job in the ruck up against Max Gawn. Is your superstar ruckman just licking his lips today?
Yeah, oh, look, he's looking forward to the challenge. You know, I think they might throw three guys through him at some stages. You know, they'll throw, you know, Darcy Fort, they've got Radicalea, and they'll probably, you know, at some stage, if they know, they'll put Blixarves on him as well. So, you know, we're up for all those challenges, and Max, he's looking forward to it. So, you know, he looks forward to the ruck every week because he's a very dominant player and he wants to give us, you know, first look at the footy.
Hey, Goody, we've got the greatest players who've played the game in here being Wayne Carey from the Kangaroos, but he still thinks he was the greatest player when he came to Adelaide. He gets a bit flat when people say that he wasn't that good at Adelaide. Where do you sit on that as a former teammate?
Well, it's fair enough that he gets a bit flat. You know, he was very good for the Crows Footy Club. He brought a lot of stuff to the club.
What did he bring?
Not a good habit.
He actually taught a lot of our key players how to play, which was good. And, you know, we certainly progressed after Wayne left.
I'll have you know, the years I was there, Roo won the Brownlow and came runner-up the other year.
Right. That was because of you.
Well, I'm that's what I think.
Wasn't that because of Roo?
No, it was because of me.
Goody, we'll let you go while we continue this conversation. You've got a game
good
to prepare
debate.
For.
Thanks, Goody.
Right, cheers, thank guys. You. Thank you.
I love you, and I love everything about you, but you just need to explain how the fact that you won Roo 2 Brownlow.
Rupert, we know Rupert, ripping guy, and he's a country boy, and he likes a good time, and I just taught him how to have more of a good time and relax more off the ground, which right. then, you know, sort of, you know, extended onto the ground for him, and he just became a better player while I was, and plus I was probably taking two or three opponents, and they were leaving him to just run around by himself.
Did he thank you in his speech?
No, but I actually didn't. But funnily enough, I didn't get invited to the Brownlow that year. They didn't think I was dominant enough. I missed half the year, Ross. And by the way, I came seventh in their best and fairest in 2003, which I thought not at my normal standard. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought, but I was pretty happy with seventh. I only played 12 games or 13 games or something.
Chewman arriving with the McDonald's. Very nicely and done, Chewman.
How many years
that?
Did you spend there, Wayne?
Two. But I missed half the year both times.
You ran the goalpost or something, didn't you? That was nasty.
I had a couple of injuries while I was there. Injuries I'd never had before.
What were they?
So I just soft tissue things that I'd never come across. It's called age.
Clarkie, can I just ask quickly about the ruck battle today, Ross? Did the Geelong on ballers set up for a Darcy Fort tap, or do they just purely shark Gawn today? Do you concede the tap from the get-go?
Well, what they're going to have to, I think, they're going to aim for Fort to minimise. A bit like Mumford did with Grundy. Grundy, a lot of hit-outs, not many to advantage. Just the aim would be to grab the arm, bring it, try and get a drop inside and then get to work. I don't think they can expect off the hip and we'll be there and there. But so minimise where he can hit the ball. So almost take the arm a bit and let it drop down into an area. But Carlton versus Melbourne, that first quarter, Carlton was setting up for a winning tap and Melbourne were just all three. Once they adjusted that the plan should be Gawn's going to get the hit outs. Minimise as best you can and let us get to work.
Big segment last week started nicely. It is time for the segment with the best intro on radio.
The Sunday Rub heads into the Lion's Den.
Oh, little whip away as well. My kids had this song on loop when they were about 4 and 2, out in the jungle. All right, Rossi, last week we talked about your very first game at Fitzroy when you kicked 3 against Collingwood and starred in a dramatic win at Victoria Park. We're now making the journey up to Brisbane. You're at Fitzroy, things are going well. The club didn't have too much money. What was going on back at Fitzroy?
In the 94, it was. We actually had a... the start of the year, we had a training session. We did a triathlon down at, I think, Ocean Grove with the players, but the club didn't exist. I think it was bankrupt.
Right.
They're going into but Roosie let us down then, we still did it. So the sign, the writing was on the wall. They got through that year, but we battled away, and it was time to leave. We'd done about 10 years there, and I think Michael Gale, Paul Broderick, might have been Jamie Allard, they left the year before in the 93 with Alistair Lynch. We stayed one more year, and I'd had an approach from Sydney, as Roosie had done, to sort of head up there. I'd had a meeting with them to head up there. So Roosie was pick one. He was already low-cut up there. Ronnie Joseph was working with my manager, Damien Smith, who was Roosie's and committed to a three-year deal. But they said, yeah, and there's some work off the field. I hadn't really been a workaholic in my 10 years at Fitzroy. I'd sort of done my degree and was looking to...
So there was a potential job, was there?
Yeah. I sort of met with Bob Campbell from Channel 7 from memory. He might have been a board member down the track for the Swans.
Were you going to read the sport? What were you going
to
do?
No, I was trying to get into just advertising sales, just trying to build my life there a little bit.
Grant Hacker style.
Tamarama Beach looked all right up there. Right. And,
but you didn't end up in Sydney?
No, so what happened was I thought I was going there, but Sydney said... you know, don't nominate your terms. You can nominate, but we'll take your pick three. Fremantle pick two. They're going to take Madigan or whatever it was. You're safe. And so anyway, I had the shower, the draft's on, and the radio was on, and come out, and Ross Lyon's gone to Brisbane. I got on the phone to the manager, what's happened? But Sydney got barred from the draft the night before because of they were over the salary cap. And fortunately, Scott Clayton, who was head of recruiting there with Andrew Allen, Robert Walls, took me. Robert Walls was my first senior coach, so... I headed up there with...
was that to Carrara, Brisbane Bears days?
No, they were at the Gabba. And Alistair Lynch was a great mate from Fitzroy. So actually, his wife, Peter, I introduced Peter and Alistair and might have been a blind date there one night. So I was happy to get up there. And he was a great mate and looked after me.
You've got good detail in your story, Ross, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I'm sure Peter would be a bit embarrassed about that. But so I went up there and I played two games and... we had a winning game against Adelaide. I remember I was playing half back. But my knee blew up. I walked off and never played again. So, you know, they wouldn't have been thrilled with that, the Brisbane Lions.
So what was it like at Brisbane at that stage?
They were a really young group. Chris Scott was there, Nigel Ackermanis, Voss, Darryl White, Magic McLean was there. He might have been captain or Roger Merritt. But we played round one at Hawthorn, and I played. It was actually quite eventful. Darren Jarman knocked me out and he got a couple of weeks, but while he was defending himself, he put me in and said I'd elbowed him or something prior. So
had you?
I might have. I can't remember. and then I end up at the tribunal, so I had to sort of defend myself with that. But so I remember playing that game and I thought, Hawthorn won, but I thought, gee, we got a lot of talent. But you could just feel they didn't believe in themselves. It was like, just let yourself go. Go, boys. So... I played the next week, walk off. But that young group, in the end, they won their last 9 out of 11, I think, something like that. And they played in the final against Carlton and stretched Carlton in that final series. And then they had that core making of a great team.
So you told us last week that at one stage you gave footy away, Nathan, you went and worked in a petrol station. That was going to be the new career. So football finishes unexpectedly because you had your knee issue. What's the plan at that stage for retiring athlete Ross Lyon?
Well, that's an interesting link because what happened when I did quit and I was pumped, I quit my HR Bachelor of Business degree and was pumping petrol and I quit VFL AFL football at the time. So
when people pulled up, and they went down the window and Ross Lyon was there. Like, there must have been some footy people who recognised you and thought...
It was a very multicultural
Ross
area.
Ross on his knees here.
Sydney Road, Brunswick in 1986.
So they weren't picking you.
Effers Turkey Shop next door and the Espresso Shop. The Lebos across the road didn't really worry about AFL football too much. But we had a lot of fun with those guys, I remember. So, look... It's not as exposed as it was then. You know, you could really just fly under the radar. That was the beauty of the Northern.
So what happened? What were you going to do when you retired?
I was pumping petrol. No, but so what happened? I went back. So I had that year off. I went back to football and I went back to university because I saw football could be gone quickly. So out of that degree, I had a great mate that was working out of Deco, out of Centicom, and I applied... I got a job with Recruitment Solutions. They offered me in at the Rialto, recruiting accountants or whatever. And he said, you won't like that. Come and work with me. We're Light Industrial out at Oakley, out of your Centrecom. So I went and worked in recruitment and started my part-time coaching.
So who'd you start your coaching with?
Richmond, part-time, under Robert Walls. Robert Walls was the Brisbane coach, finished up, got the job at Richmond, and he rang me and said, I went into the club to just tidy up some stuff, see Andrew Ireland. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going back to Melbourne. He said, well, I've got the Richmond job. Are you interested in coaching? I said, oh, I don't know about that. I'd like to get on with my life. The day I got back, Brian Waldron rang and said, we want to meet you. And so I went and met them. They gave me, I was incredibly fortunate. They gave me a part-time role working with their defence. And the reason was, he said, look, Tony Jewell was chairman of the match committee. It was Kevin Morris was a coach. He said, none of us have played footy for 30, 40, whatever it was. And he said, we need someone just out of the game so can give us some understanding. And that's why he gave me my opportunity. And I'm forever grateful for the Richmond Football Club and Robert Walls, really.
Right, huh?
Big Wallsy.
Well, we might need to move next week into your first senior coaching job. That was a nice addition of Into the Lions, Dan.
I reckon Robert could do the best sprays of all the coaches. Some of them are legendary.
Yeah, I think the Richmond boys have got some. He had the flog squad too. We used to, as I had Stuart Wigney was getting flogged around, we used to look out the window and have a look. But yeah,
that's the fat group. When you're overweight or you weren't really pulling your weight, Howard, that was the flog squad.
The
so
flog
they got
squad.
Flogged. Outside of training hours.
Just on careers and career changes, Ross. Hey, are you thinking that you will or would coach again? Like, how are you going? Are you missing it? I mean, I know we're talking about...
Are you saying I'm struggling in the media, Jay?
No, you're doing an exceptional job, which has been vindicated by our career high ratings. But do you watch the footy and go, I'd love to roll the sleeves up again? Or
no, not at all. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, the fingernail deep analysis and lack of accountability and no press conferences. But when I get stuck in a little bit and you start, you know, footy classified, I might say, so I have to watch the game and drill into the numbers, and you find yourself reverting to the old. But at this point, I think maybe it's just I've had my day and move on.
Well, you haven't really answered his question. Would you like to coach again? It was a pretty simple question, Roscoe.
Not at this point in time, no.
Can you see that changing?
Never say never, but it'd have to be...
It'd have to be what? A group? A size of check? Like, it'd have to be what?
No, it's not about the money. If you're coaching for the money, you're in trouble.
So it'd have to be what?
I worked as hard at Sydney on whatever I was getting there as I did as a senior. I remember, and that was a great... I used to ride my bike down the Bronte, Darley Road through Centennial Park, and there'd be times you're climbing the fence there at 5 a.m. in the morning as a midfield coach. So it wasn't about... That's just what I did it.
So what would excite you?
You need the right... A group that wanted to work hard and achieve. There's different qualities of groups in the AFL. There's not every group that's as committed as
so if you're
every other
if
group.
If you're looking at this group, for example, and
which
you had
group?
To this Sunday Rup group, you had to have a bit of a summation of what you've seen over the first 14 weeks of the season.
I don't
which
think
has
we
been,
should do this, Howie.
It's been truncated.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. So firstly, our man that leads the journalistic charge, Jay-Z, areas of improvement.
Well, I don't know if I'm qualified to
no,
talk.
You
so
are.
What I've found, it's been very embracing. You know, you see Duck's qualities as a captain. He's very inclusive in getting the food and organising brownie food.
That's good.
Dominating the quiz. So the alpha male's there. The inclusiveness is good. I like your ability to give me feedback and ring and say, Ross, you need the lift in this area. And I say, okay, Howie. Yeah, I've just found it really... surprising, because I remember speaking to a couple of guys. They say the media, you know, it's not real team orientated, but I found this is a really team orientated environment, so I've enjoyed
it'd be
it.
Fair to say generally the media is not a team game,
yeah.
But we try and do that here.
I think when people say that, they don't understand that we're happy to give it to each other and take the mickey out of each other, but definitely it's still like on Friday nights, we absolutely tear strips off you and Chris Judd, but we're there for everybody when the whips are cracking, though.
It's amazing that the audience, that people come up to me after a Friday night on a Saturday and say, how can you go to work with those blokes? They don't realise there's a little bit of theatre in it. But still, you were going to tell us what Jay-Z needs to do to lift. That's where we were at in that.
No, I found he's been very good at prepping me. Probably his shorts.
What about the game last night? Gold Coast and Freo at halftime, a new VFL AFL record, the first time in the history of the game, Nate, that kicks are behind in the first half.
It's extraordinary kicking, isn't it? A lot of people think that the new game with no crowd allows no pressure, so that's why clubs are kicking better. But you look at the Brisbane Lions today, 10 goals, 21, sort of defuncts that, doesn't it?
Well, there is 8,000 there today, which is good news. You can go to sporting events in Queensland at a reduced number, but more than we're allowed here at the MCG. All right, time for...
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
It's all up to you, Big Daddy.
Brownie, this one's for you, straight off the top here. And I ask this question in all seriousness. Can Matt Rowell win the Brownlow? He is currently the third favourite, I think, about an $8 chance. He was best on ground against last night. Is it ridiculous?
He opened about $80. It's not ridiculous. I think the last person to do it in their first year was Brad Hardy back in 1985, I reckon. But so when he had his first best on ground, people thought, you know, they threw out there jokingly that he could win the Brownlow, and then second best on ground. Or I think he contested with Wits for best on ground last week. But then again yesterday, possibly best on ground. So he's either got 8 or 9 votes. And outside Lachie Neale, I don't see anybody having that many votes right now. So if you stopped it right now, he's in the top two, probably.
There's no rule to say that you can't, obviously. And everyone thinks a Brownlow medalist has to be, you know, has to have played for 5 or 6 years. To win a Brownlow, you have to play 12 good games a year.
They need to keep
12 winning, brilliant games a year. He's already played 3, so he's a long way down the track. He most certainly can win it.
Well, he's going to have to get some attention. There's going to be some teams that tag him, and then he'll know a bit more about AFL. Like,
so if you're Geelong,
ball gets to him.
Do you send someone to him next week?
Yeah, I would. I'd someone to work on and off him really, really closely. That's what I would.
You'd feel like they need to win probably 11 or 12 games for him to win it, though. I mean, if they get belted, he's not going to get votes in games where they lose, I wouldn't have thought. So it's going to be hard for him. But, I mean, it'd be an amazing story if he did.
He looks the best first-year player since who?
Oh, Judd Selwood was pretty good in his first season.
Juddy was
Judd.
Yep. Hey, second topic, Howie.
Yes.
Next week, Geelong play Gold Coast down there at the Cattery.
Yes.
Joel Selwood's 300th and Gary Ablett's 350th.
Yes.
Ross, do milestones mean anything in real terms to a football team? You're coaching that. Are you righto, boys? It's a big day for the footy.
Yeah, we address it. So talk about the esteem that you hold someone in. You reflect that in your action. So it's not about the win-loss, but it's how you go about it. So the esteem and the respect you have needs to be shown with your effort that day. Can you give extra effort? But you can make sure you can, your effort from the start to the finish is, and then once the ball's bounced, it goes. But there are moments that you might refer to it, might be 3/4 time, but make sure that, don't talk about how much you love this guy. Show how much you love this guy. Just, you know, it's a John Kennedy act, dude.
Were you inspired by your teammates' milestones, boys, when you're out there? Were you cognizant of it?
I think pre-game you definitely are. I don't think you run around 20 minutes into the first quarter thinking about, you know, someone's playing their 200th game today. But it's definitely something that you build up for in the first quarter, but it's not something you continually think about.
As a coach, Ross, and you've coached so many players, and we'll delve into this as the season goes on, into the Lions' Den, but is there a milestone game that really stood out to you of a player that you'd coached?
Well, I had a couple of rippers, yeah. I think it might have been Robert Harvey's 350th, or, which is a real significant game over at Subiaco. Like, Eagles had won 48 out of 52 there, or something like that, and we were 4-7, and we had that big meeting, rejigged our trademark and what we wanted to stand for, and halves were win, and we won that game. It was a turning point for our season, and to deliver for him was pretty special.
Collingwood. They've lost Jeremy Howe. They're always probably the top-rated defender coming into this round. Replacement options are Tom Langdon, who's coming back. He's doing full match simulation for the Pies, an intercepting defender. But also Matthew Schoenberg, I think it'd be a chance. And whether they can reshuffle with Lyndon Dunn. Jack Madgen, obviously, was an emergency as well. How big a loss, Ross, is Jeremy Howe to Collingwood? Are they going to be a lesser defence without him?
Huge, huge. I think they can cope, but what will happen? The Collingwood players aren't dumb. Our percentage chance of winning the premiership, it just got a lot harder. So that belief, they're going to have to put that behind them. But I like the options you've thrown up. Lyndon Dunn, they've had a defence that just rolls over and takes anything. Watching them, those back three, they just say more, Ruffhead and Howe. They just go, no worries, we'll just take what comes. But Dunn's a little bit more less agile, and so he might just lock them in a little bit more. I think Langdon, for mine, is the best of those. really tall, athletic roll-off defender. If they could, they've really missed him. So I would like him in, and they just could keep that rollover defense going. That's what I would think. Whereas Dunn's that bigger body. Was how's that more roll off market? Is it
hard to replace what he does? Because I think he's the AFL's best at what he does. When Richmond had Alex Rance go down, everyone was saying, you know, how, you can't replace Alex Rance, but other players can step up. And I thought that probably Dylan Grimes' game went to another level because Alex Rance wasn't there. So things like that can happen. You can't replace Jeremy Howe. He's the best in the competition at what he does.
Is he the best mark you've seen, Duck?
He's the best high flyer that I think the game's ever seen.
Ablett Senior?
No, he does it more regularly. This guy takes two speckies a game.
How does
I mean, he's the most consistent high mark, I think, the game.
Peter Knights, he was handy.
Yeah, no, he was pretty handy. And Vanderhaar and Sean Smith and Brett.
It's never been easier for halfbacks to roll off and
Brett
take
Burton,
marks,
Jeff so Farmer. He's done it at both ends as well, Howe, when he's a forward.
Yep.
We know it can be easier as a
defender. He was a failed forward, though. He was a failed forward.
But he could take a specky every week.
Yeah,
what I'm saying. In terms of consistency, yeah. I mean, he's just.
But it takes courage to do what he does.
And just to back over what the boy said before, as him as a defender and where he's at in his career, I agree. He's an amazing player. He reads it so well. In actual fact, when you watch games, and very similar to what teams do with, and he's not as big a body, but how teams plan around McGovern. When they look up and they see how, they just go, well, hang on, we can't go there. Because of his leaping ability, he just always gets a fist to it.
I remember he was a rookie list player. Matty Drain at St Kilda was head of recruiting. Had the tape of him down. Matty Drain. He was smart.
He was our videotape per guy.
But he'd come a long way. But
became a policeman,
the marks he's taking now, he was taking, I think it might have been Glenn Orkey, and he was a plumber or a tradie. And he was fast, and then he got drafted and he blossomed at Melbourne. It's weird to think he wasn't at Melbourne.
Trainee.
I think he became a policeman and now a lawyer, I think.
He was just a...
Very football smart, very influential. Essendon might have been in 93.
Put my tapes in the operations manager. Press play.
Well, you trained him up beautifully.
Coatsy, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. Whatever you need at Coatsy can make it happen. Search Coatsy today. Jay-Z, before we let you go to go and write another Pulitzer Prize-winning article, anything else you want to leave us with?
A new football's harder to kick, boys. I think there's 16 new footies out there at the moment, or they'll play with, as opposed to six footies.
Get BT onto this.
Are they harder to kick or not?
Look, you watched a game the other night, and BT is big on this, and he's delved into it. He's done tried to do a whole segment on Channel 7 on Friday Night Footy, and got cut off, and I couldn't have been happier. Because he absolutely cracked it after that and sulked for the rest of the night. But BT's theory, and we all agree, when you do get a new footy and it's a little bit pointy, you do have to kick it in. Now, good kicks will kick a ball when it's new, kicked in or not.
Yep.
Crap kicks will struggle with a kicked in ball and also a brand new ball.
Freshie.
There's no doubt. And you look at Josh Kelly the other night, just the way you see the players that just hit the ball so sweetly. They don't have any problems. The blokes that are having problems with the balls are blokes that just can't kick.
But if we keep it simple, they do bang them in. The umpires will bang it. They'll tell you. They bang it against the wall about 200, 250 times.
Do they?
To get it ready. Yeah. They wear them in.
Didn't know the things you learn, Howie.
There are more balls in circulation though now because
16.
Of yeah exactly. So there's more around the ground. So I guess you know if you pick up one that you know.
And the home team actually uses them at the captain's training run, kicks them in a bit.
People tend to forget about this big ball discussion, Brownie. Yeah. I'm not sure whether it was in when you first started. Certainly would have been when you, Ross, but when when we went over to Perth to play West Coast.
The Burleys.
We would play one with a Sharon, one quarter Sharon, one quarter Burley, back to Sharon, back to Burley. Really? And in Adelaide, we went Sharon Faulkner. So we actually used different balls in the same
that
game. And guess what?
Makes no sense.
Still put them through the big stick.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.